Okay, good morning. We are doing Sukkah Daf Yud, and we're going to start on the two dots about two thirds of the way down on Tes Amud Beis. As always, the shiur today is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, tax consultant. Shake things up this tax season or something like that. Okay. Fine, so we're at the two dots. I circulated on the WhatsApp a little very rudimentary drawing of four types of sukkahs. What the Gemara is going to analyze now is when we said in the Mishnah, sukkah al gabe sukkah is pasul, that a sukkah on top of a sukkah is pasul. We're going to now analyze what that means. So actually, it might be easier if we go through the drawings first, then we'll be able to fly through the Gemara, because it's all very logical. It's actually so logical that the Gemara towards the top of Yud Amud Aleph is going to say pshita to all this. Like, isn't this all extremely, extremely obvious, the various manifestations and permutations of this, so that the Mishnah didn't even have to teach us this, and then we'll see why the Mishnah taught us this. But let's go through. So if you see drawing one, everyone, you're able to access it, right? So drawing one is where the whole thing takes place, the whole sukkah is within a elevation or a height of less than 20 amos, and the bottom sukkah, again, this is a very rudimentary drawing, is chamsa meruba mitzolsa. There's more sun coming in than schach. The schach is just very sparse. You see at the bottom those three lines. And then the top is good schach, like we'd have on a normal sukkah, where it's tzilsa meruba mechamsa, where there's more shade than sun. Right? Does that make sense? So the sukkah there is perfectly kosher there, right? Because the bottom set of schach is disregarded, because it doesn't constitute schach altogether. It's too much sun. And the whole thing is within a height of 20 amos, which we said is the height. So that's a perfectly good sukkah, and it just has some kind of stuff in the way halfway up, right? Then the second sukkah is both the bottom sukkah and the top sukkah are pasul, because both of them have a full amount of schach. So the bottom sukkah, you'd think, might be kosher. It's just that there's a sukkah on top of it, so you can't have that. You're supposed to have schach and then clear sky above. So the bottom sukkah is kosher because it's obstructed on top of it by a bona fide sukkah, or maybe not a bona fide sukkah, but by schach, by something. It's obstructed. And then the top sukkah is also pasul, because even though you'd think maybe it should be kosher, but the specific ukimta is where it's more than 20 amos. You're not allowed to have a sukkah more than 20 amos. So the bottom sukkah is kosher, is pasul, I'm sorry, because it's obstructed by the top sukkah. The top sukkah is pasul because it's too tall, right? Then you have the third picture where, again, everything takes place within 20 amos. The bottom sukkah is kosher because it's a good sukkah with good schach. And even though it is obstructed partially on the top, we disregard that partial obstruction because it's chamsa meruba mitzolsa, it's too sparse, and therefore there's not enough schach. The top sukkah is pasul because it doesn't have enough schach. And then the fourth example is, again, where it all takes place within 20 amos. The bottom sukkah is pasul because even though it has good schach, it's obstructed by a sukkah on top of it that has good schach. The top sukkah is perfectly kosher because it has good schach and nothing is obstructing it, right? So it's all very logical, yeah.
Does the top sukkah have a floor?
Are you talking about on the four?
On any of them.
Yeah, we assume the Gemara is going to get into that. The schach of the bottom sukkah is strong enough that you could stand on it. Uh-huh. Yeah.
In the second diagram, the greater than 20?
Yeah.
Is that for the...
It's from the floor. No, it's not from the ground. It's from the floor. That's why it's pasul, right? Yeah. Okay. That's right. Right. If it was from the ground, then the top one would be kosher because you'd count from the floor, from its own floor. Right. Agreed. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to fly through all these different permutations. So the Gemara says, "Tuka agabe suka tanra banan basukos." Now the girs on the side basukos is chaser. Samach chaf tuf without the vavs, right? So tanurban and this is a kriyan kasiv. If you remember that back on daf vav, we had yesh emu mikra yesh emu mesores, and that's how we learned the minimal number of walls. So it's red basukos, as we know, but it's written without the vavs, basakas, or whatever, as if it's singular. So the Gemara says, basukos teshvu, specifically in plural, basukos, it reads as a singular word, velo basuka shetachas asuka. You should sit in a sukkah, but you shouldn't sit in a sukkah that's underneath a sukkah. Velo basuka shetachas eilan, and you shouldn't sit in a sukkah that's underneath a tree, meaning you're not allowed to have any obstruction on top of you, like a tree. Velo basuka shebetoch habayis, you can't have your sukkah within your house, because again, you have the roof of your house is obstructing. And that's the simple gzeiras hakas of limud, of why you have to have a straight one sukkah, unobstructed by a second sukkah or by something else on top of the sukkah. So the Gemara says, Adrabah, basukos, it's read with vav, right? It's read basukos as if it's plural, tarti mashma. That implies maybe the gzeiras hakasav that you're allowed to have multiple sukkahs, or as if to say you're allowed to have a sukkah that's obstructed on top. Based on this gzeiras hakasav, basukos, you could have plural of sukkahs. Amar of Nachum bar Yitzchak, basukos ksiv. It's true that you pronounce it basukos plural, but it's written as if it's a singular word, and we're following that drasha as if it's written as a singular thing. You're not allowed to have an obstructed sukkah. You have to have one straight, simple sukkah, nothing else. So now Rav Yirmiyah is going to flesh this out with our different diagrams. Amar of Yirmiyah, pa'amim sheshtem ksheros. Some situations, both of them, the bottom and the top, are kosher. Pa'amim sheshtem psulos. There are some situations where both the bottom and the top one are pasul. Pa'amim shetachtona kshera velyona psula. There are times when the bottom one is kosher, the top one is pasul. Pa'amim shetachtona psula velyona kshera. And there are times when the bottom one is pasul and the top one is kosher. So let's go through each one. And these go in order of our diagram. Pa'amim sheshtem ksheros. There are times when both of them are kosher. Heichidami, how is this? Kegon shetachtona chamsa meruba mitzilsa, where the bottom one, this is diagram one, the bottom one has more sunlight coming through, and therefore you disregard that schach. Ve'elyona tzilsa meruba mechamasa, and the top one is good schach because it's more shade than sun. Ve'kaima elyona betoch esrim, and the whole thing happens within 20 amos, so that's a perfectly good sukkah. Now, just to keep the kind of pattern of thinking of this as a sukkah agave sukkah, the Gemara refers to this as shteim ksheros. What's really happening here is it's one kosher sukkah, meaning both levels just collapse into one kosher sukkah. But this is enough. But what the Gemara is essentially saying is that regardless of the fact that you have this quasi level of schach in the middle, we regard this as one kosher sukkah, as if to say both levels are kosher when you put them all together.
But you can have people eating on top and the bottom.
In theory, you could, if the people floated on top. Let's say, again, the middle schach is kind of disregarded. It's not even schach. So if you had like a few beams sitting through your sukkah, and a guy is going to stand on that beam and eat, and he's going to talk to the people below standing on the beams, and you disregard that schach, so it's perfectly kosher. Everyone in the sukkah is covered by the top schach. Right? That makes sense? Yeah, people can be hanging all over the place in the sukkah. If you want to hang like a trapeze guy off your sukkah and eat your meal, it's perfectly okay.
Sitting on a beam with his lunchbox on the
construction. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like the Empire State Building photo, right. Good. Okay, fine. So that's scenario one. Pa'amim sheshtem psuos. This is scenario two, where both of them are pasul. Heichidami, kegon tarvayu tzilsam ruba mimichamasan. Both of them have good schach, so to speak. Both of them have shade, more shade than sun. V'kaima elyono l'mala me'esrim. But the top one, l'mala me'esrim amma, is more than 20 amos tall. Rashi points out that it's 20 amos from the first schach. And therefore, as we spoke out, the bottom one is pasul because it's obstructed by the top sukkah. The top sukkah is pasul because it's too tall. And that's that. That's scenario two. Pa'amim shetachtona kshera ve'elyona psua. This is scenario three, where the bottom one is kosher and the top one is pasul. Heichidami, kigon shetachtona tzilsa miruba mechamasa. The bottom one is perfectly good schach. It's got more shade than sun. V'elyona chamsa miruba mitzolasa. but the top one is more sun than shade, so therefore the schach is not good. V'kaimi tarvayu b'tocha srim, and they both happen to be within 20 amos, so the height's not a problem, but the problem for the top one is that it's more sun than shade, and therefore it doesn't have good schach. And then finally, upamim shel yona ksheira v'tachton psua. There are times when the top one is kosher, the bottom one is pasul. And this really is the classic, this fourth case is the classic sukkah al gabe sukkah. You really have a kosher sukkah on top of, underneath a kosher sukkah. And in this situation, we're saying that the bottom one is pasul, the top one is kosher. Hechidami kigon de tarvayu silsam ruba mechamasan. Both of them have good schach, more shade than sun. Vikaime el yona betoche srim, and the top one fits the height requirements. And therefore, the bottom one is pasul because it's obstructed by a sukkah al gabe sukkah. The top one is kosher because it's a good bona fide sukkah. And as we'll see in a moment, as you pointed out, you can stand in that top one. There's enough of a support to hold you up. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, everything we just said is perfectly logical. We haven't really learned any new rules about sukkah. In fact, even the idea of sukkah al gabe sukkah being pasul is kind of pashut, because you're not allowed to have an iwan on top of your sukkah. You're not allowed to have anything on top of your sukkah. You have to have unobstructed. So all of this is kind of pashut. What's going on? Now, Rashi actually, when he says pshita, says that pshita is really focused specifically on the third one specifically. But be it as it may, we haven't really learned anything earth-shattering from any of these examples. So the Gemara says, no, it needed to teach you specifically the halacha of the third one. Tachtona ksheira velyona psua, it's trichole. We're talking with the one where the bottom one is kosher and the top one is pasul. That's the one that it needs to teach you. Mahu detema, you might have thought, nigzor dilma mitstarif schach pasul bahade schach kosher. That you might have thought that you should make that one pasul because of a concern that the pasul schach on top, which is too sparse, is kind of going to be considered a sukkah psua, and that you're going to view that schach as part of or as intermingled with the kosher schach below it for some reason. Now, we don't come to that conclusion at all, but the Gemara has this havamina that you're somehow going to say, since there's a pasul sukkah above you, you're going to intermingle that pasul schach with the kosher schach below and somehow pasul the sukkah below. But the Gemara quickly rejects that havamina, kamashimon, we don't do that at all. The bottom one is perfectly kosher, notwithstanding the fact that there's this weird rudimentary sparse sukkah on top of it. And that's the end of that discussion.
When we say you can't have a sukkah under a tree,
yeah,
isn't that, even if it's a, is that any tree or just a tree that gives too much?
The answer is that first of all, it's a tree obviously that's rooted in the ground, so it violates the rules of schach, right? And you're asking if it's sparse enough. So the Gemara on Daf Tes talked about bittel, right? But it specifically said you have to pull it down so that it's intermingled. But if it's too separate, then you're not going to have bittel, which makes me think that even if it's very sparse, it's going to be a problem. Meaning bittel will help you with, if it's very sparse, then you'll say, okay, it's batel, gabe, the kosher schach. But in order to do that, you have to pull it down so that it's intermingled.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Then
if that's kosher.
If that's kosher once it's intermingled.
No, if it's not intermingled, so if it's pasul to have a tree over your sukkah.
Yeah.
Why is it okay to have,
the sukkah agave sukkah if the sukkah is sparse?
Because the tree is connected to the ground.
Because the tree is connected to the ground. I guess we make a distinction. We're getting into the lumdus of sukkah, but that might be the answer. That pasul schach is much more nefarious than kosher schach, which we'll just disregard. That's what I'm guessing is the case.
The kosher schach, as long as it's below, less than 20 amos above you in the ground level.
Maybe that's as if it's intermingled.
Either that or you can consider it as a schach above you.
Right. Right, but then the Gemara on Daf Tes, which said you actually have to pull it down in order to make it batel, I don't remember. Did it touch? Did it say actually has to touch, or maybe within 20 is the answer? I don't know.
I don't know. It sounded like it was at the same level.
At the same level, yeah.
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 Well, also in this case, I mean, there's nothing really wrong with that svach. It's too sparse to make a kosher svach, but it in itself is no problem. But
right.
Chubur is actually.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I think that's the difference. Right. It's not puzzle. It's just
pieces of svach are fine for a svach.
And those would be right.
If you, even if you mingle them, what's the difference? Who cares?
Right.
You have a very shady sukkah.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that's right. So that's right. Because it's sparse enough, we disregard it, and therefore we don't say it's a sukkah, agave sukkah, but at the same time, we don't say it's a puzzle like the tree, where it would have been a problem. So yeah. Okay. So the Gemara kind of finishes that the answer, that issue. Okay, and now we're focused really for the rest of the sukkah, meaning towards the till the mission now, on the classical sukkah, Al Gabe Sukkah, which again was the fourth scenario. Fourth scenario, where we have a sukkah with the right amount of schach, and then a sukkah with the right amount of the schach. The top one is going to be okay, because it's not a sukkah Al Gabe Sukkah. That's an okay sukkah. But the bottom one is obstructed by the sukkah Al Gabe Sukkah, and therefore it's problematic. And so the Gemara says now, Kama Yehe Bein Sukkah with Sukkah Vatei Tachtona Psua. Is there, the Gemara assumes there is, but what is the height of that second sukkah, the top sukkah, that's sufficient to give it a shame sukkah, or that it's sufficient to say it's a sukkah, agave sukkah, that it's going to passel the bottom one. Meaning, we're assuming that if it's short enough, and this, again, gets into the last conversation we had, if it's short enough, then you could just kind of regard that top level of schach as part of the schach below it, and say it's all one set of schach, and then it's just one kosher sukkah. How big a gap does there need to be between the first level of schach and the second level of schach for it to be considered a sukkah al gabe sukkah, so that the top obstructs the bottom? Right? Does that make sense? That's the question. So instinctively, our answer is maybe it should be the shear of a sukkah, which is 10 tfachim. But the Gemara, and the Gemara, that's one of the three opinions. The Gemara is going to give two other opinions. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, tefach. So Rav Huna says, as long as there is a tefach, that's a sufficient amount of a gap for us to now say that we don't regard the top level of schach as intermingled with the bottom level of schach, that the top level of schach is a separate bona fide level of schach. So this is now a sukkah al gabi sukkah that now obstructs and passels the lower sukkah, a tefach. And why a tefach? And the answer is because in other areas of halacha, a tefach, a gap of a tefach, is a chashuv gap, meaning it's regarded as a real gap. Where is that? Shekeinu matzinu b'olei tuma tefach. Because when it comes to hilchos tuma and hilchos olim, what's considered a structure for purposes of tuma and tara, a tefach is what does it. Ditanan is we have a Mishnah in Olos that explains tefach al tefach barom tefach, meaning a volume of a tefach, where there is a height with tefach, a width of tefach, a depth of tefach, mevi es hatuma v'chotzeitz bifnei hatuma. It works both to bring tuma and to act as a chatzitza of tuma. And as Rashi explains, what we mean to say is that generally speaking, there's a halacha of Olos of ohel. That if you have something tame, let's say a dead body in a room, and someone walks into that room, that person will become tame by virtue of that other thing that's tame in that room, even if it doesn't touch it. Meaning by virtue of the fact that it's encompassed within an ohel. Now that ohel needs to be a tefach high from the floor in order for that to be considered a room for that tumah to transmit from the tame object to the other thing that walks into the room, Adam v'kelim, the person that walks in the room. If it's too short, if it's like a really, really small room where it's less than a tefach, then that's not considered an ohel, and we won't then transmit the tumah from the tame object to the person that walked in the room. That's one. That's lehavias hatumah. That's mevias hatumah. That's the significance of a tefach with respect to transmitting tumah. And what's the significance of a tefach in terms of being choseis b'fnum tumah? So if you have a dead body that's buried in the ground, let's say, so generally speaking, we don't think of anything as being choseis, meaning the tumah will be bokas v'yola ad l'rakia. And so therefore, Cohen walking in the cemetery can't walk over that gravestone, because even though the body is 6 feet under and there's a lot of dirt in between, but because that body, but the tumah kind of just flows up and goes up to the sky, the Cohen cannot walk over the grave. However, if there's a gap between the body and the area above it of a tefach, you have a hollow gap, let's say in a coffin, right? There's a hollow gap between the body of the Kohen, between the body of the dead person and the top of the coffin of a tefach. So that gap acts as an insulator of tumah, as it's a chatzitza, and there, technically speaking, the tumah would not be ole adlo rakia. So that's that. Those are the two instances where tefach plays an important role to be considered a measurement with respect to tumah. Tefach atav rom tefach mevi as a tumah v'chotzeis mifnei tumah. Hava pachos merom tefach lo mevi v'chotzeis. If it's less, then it doesn't accomplish those things. So Rav Huna says you look at tumah as your paradigm, and therefore, if the gap between the lower schach and the upper schach is at least a tefach, that's considered a sukkah agavi sukkah. The bottom sukkah is pasul. For Rav Chista v'Rabba bar Rav Huna amri arba, they say no, it's four tefachim that's considered significant enough gap so that the top sukkah will pass over the bottom sukkah and be considered an obstruction. Why? Shlomatzinu makom chashuv pachos me'arba. Because generally speaking, when we think about Hilchos Eruvin, we think about an area of 4x4 as a makom chashuv. For example, a Carmelis, let's say you have a Carmelis where you're not allowed to carry midrabanan. If it's 4x4, it's considered Carmelis. Anything less is considered a makom patur, where it would be perfectly okay to carry from one area to another. A rishus hayachid, right? A classical rishus hayachid for purposes of iruvin of hotzah is a 4x4 area that has a mechitza around it. If it's less than 4x4, it's not considered its own rishus. It's batal agabi the rishus hayachid. And so therefore, for purposes of Eruvin, and we're going to now extrapolate it to purposes of sukkah, 4 tfachim is what's considered a significant area. And therefore, if it's less than 4 tfachim, that top sukkah will just be viewed as collapsed together. The top schach won't be separate, and it won't be a sukkah agabi sukkah, and the whole thing will be kosher. V'shmol Amar, finally, the third answer is what we intuitively thought would be, Shmol Amar Asara. If we're talking about a sukkah al-gabi sukkah, so then a sukkah al-gabi sukkah means a sukkah al-gabi sukkah, and the minimum shear of a sukkah is 10 tfachim. And so therefore, if it's less than 10 tfachim on top, we'll collapse the two schachs, and it won't be considered a sukkah al-gabi sukkah, and the whole thing will be kosher. My time with Shmol, why does Shmol say 10? Bekech shera kach psua. Because again, like we just articulated, a sukkah gabi sukkah, its psul should be just like its hechsher. Ma hechsher ba'asar, just like a sukkah is considered kosher if it's 10 tefachim tall, a psua ba'asara, so too it's considered pasul if there's a gap of 10, that will make it like a sukkah gabi sukkah. So now we're going to challenge Shmuel's opinion, Tanan. We have a Mishnah that said, or not a Mishnah, but our Mishnah. Our Mishnah ended up by quoting Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im ein diurin bel yona hatachtonok sher. So Yehuda made a statement that at least sounds a little puzzling. When we're talking about a sukkah al gabe sukkah, so that the top sukkah, again, obstructs the bottom sukkah, that's only true if there are diurin bel yona, if people live in the top sukkah, meaning if people use the top sukkah. So the Gemara says, my ein diurin. What does that mean? People, that they're not people that live there. Ilema diurin mamish, that they're mamish people who are there. Atu diurin kagarmi. What does that have anything to do with it? We're going to say that it's only pusle if people are actually in there. Whoever thought of such a thing to say that whether or not people are present should somehow affect whether it pusles the sukkah. El olav mayin diurin. What does it mean that there are no diurin? Kosheina ru'uyo ledira. Anything that's not ru'uyo ledira, something that's not capable or appropriate for living in, vehechi dami, and what does that mean? Dulo gavoa asara. That sounds like it means it's got to be a bona fide sukkah for it to passel the sukkah below it, meaning 10 tefachim. But the problem is that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, implying that the Tanakhama somehow thought that you didn't need to have 10. Right? Michal the Tanakhama savar afal pishenu ru'u adira psua. That sounds like the Tana Kama didn't require it to be a bona fide sukkah of 10 tefachim in order to passel the sukkah below it. And that is a challenge to Shmuel's opinion, because Shmuel said that what the sukkah that passels the sukkah below it is a sukkah that's real adir, that's of 10 tefachim. It sounds like he's at odds with the Tana Kama. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar, so Rav Dimi come and answers it. Amri Marava, he quoted what they said in Eretz Yisrael. Im ein hatachtona yichol kabel karim ukisasos shel el yona hatachtona kshera. They explained that no, what Rabbi Yehuda really meant to say when he said ein diurin bel yona hatachtona kshera, that the one is that the bottom one is kosher and it's not considered as if it's obstructed by an upper sukkah. That is referring to the fact that the schach on top of the bottom one, meaning the floor of the second sukkah, has to be strong enough to hold actual things, whether it's people, or at least he's saying here, mattresses and pillows. And if it's not strong enough, then we're going to disregard the top sukkah, and it's not going to be considered as if it is a sukkah, agabe sukkah. So the Gemara still says, is still bothered that by that. Michal de Tanakama Savar, afal pi she'en ro'il kabel psula. And the way Rashi understands this is that this is still a challenge to Shmuel's opinion, because it sounds like we're still saying that the Tana Kama holds that the top sukkah is a sukkah, even if it's not Roi Ladira. And even if it's, meaning we're kind of taking a step back and we're saying, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is saying the top sukkah has to kind of meet the test of a standard sukkah, and it's got to hold people. So how do you explain the difference then between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara answers, no, ika benayu diyichol kabel ayide dchak. It's true that the Tana Kama, it's true that Rabbi Yehuda is focused on its ability to support the weight of people and pillows and mattresses. And that implies that the Tana Kama doesn't require it to be a bona fide sukkah, which is a challenge to Shmuel. But we back off of that and saying, no, no. Fundamentally, the Tana Kama also requires that it hold people, that it be a bona fide sukkah. It's just that the difference is whether it's Yechol Kaba Ayideh Adachak. The Tana Kama says it's sufficient if it just barely makes it, meaning it's just barely able to hold people, and therefore that's good enough. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is going to require it to really hold a good amount of weight. And that's the only difference between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda. But there's no real fundamental distinction. They both kind of agree that the top one, in order for it to be considered a sukkah, so that it passes the bottom sukkah, has got to be a sukkah that's sufficient to act as a real sukkah. And therefore, even the Tana Kama can tolerate Shmuel's opinion that what we're talking about is where the height is 10 tefachim. And that's how the Gemara concludes. So it withstands the challenge from that Mishnah. And you basically end up with the three opinions. The opinion of Tefach, modeled after the Halacha of Tumah. The opinion of Four Tefachim, modeled after Eruvin and Otsah. And the opinion of Ten Tefachim, modeled after Sukkah itself.
I can just ask,
yeah.
The four from Eruvin, that's not height, that's width.
Yeah, usually by Eruvin we're talking about width. But what we're saying is what's considered a Makom Chashuv. What's considered a kind of a regardable or...
But even with Erevin, wouldn't the height have to be 10 tefachim?
Erevin, usually when in Hilchos Erevin we talk about height, it's 10 tefachim. Usually the height is 10 tefachim.
I don't understand the four.
Because we're judging what's considered a makom chashuv.
In area.
In length, right. Meaning in Erevin, the reason why 10 tefachim is kind of the elevation thing is because we say that less than 10 tefachim is batal gabe karka. It's kind of just it all collapses and is regarded as still on the ground. But we're not measuring a... Whenever we measure what's considered a makam chashuv, I hear what you're saying. You could have... That's the argument, that's the third shita, that it's 10 tefachim. But we're saying here that even if you're not going to count the top as what's considered a bona fide sukkah in terms of the elevation, we're just looking for what's, generally speaking, a makom chashuv without distinguishing between, the length and elevation.
So, like, yeah. Right? Say, if you have a room, say 4x4, mezuzah used to be, say, for a room that's 4x4, it has to have a mezuzah.
Yeah, is that 4x4 or 7x7? It was on Daf Gimel, we had all the different things where it's 7x7 for a makkah, I think, and for someone who comes back, may orche al milchama, right? Sure, bana bayis chadash, it's only if it's a 7x7. I think the standard.
I'm thinking 4 feet, maybe.
I don't know. But we did have a house for like where you could hold your Eruv there on Daf Gimel also. So, yeah, okay.
I know it's off topic. Sorry, but for this, regarding Tuma and One Tefach.
Yeah.
So is that's what's utilized regarding the solution of having Aronos on airplanes and Kohanim going on the plane?
That's definitely part of the calculus, but I don't know how that works in the end. But yeah, that Tefach thing is very relevant for this idea of Tuma Bokas Ve'ola. Yeah. Okay. Fine. New Mishnah. New Mishnah now is going to talk about putting a sheet, an obstruction between where you're sitting and eating in the sukkah and the schach, and whether that constitutes an obstruction that is going to make it as if you're not sitting in a kosher sukkah. So the Gemara's Mishnah says, "Pireis alea sadin mipnei chama." Let's say it's very hot outside. And there's too much, even though your schach is shielding you from some of the sunlight, even though the schach is shielding you from some of the sunlight, but there's sunlight coming in and it's making you hot. And so you want to put up a curtain or a sheet in order to shade you, in order to provide some shade. So let's say you put up that sheet in your sukkah to provide shade. O tach teha mipnei ha-nesher. So here's the last side, but that means you cover it with a sheet. Or you're putting it under it in order, because you don't want the leaves from your schach to fall into your soup, right? So you kind of put a catcher to catch the leaves from the schach so they don't fall into your soup. O shapires al gabe hakinof, or you set up like a canopy, like a bed canopy, where you have poles coming up from the bed and then a canopy coming over, and that's within your sukkah. And the question is that going to obstruct your sukkah, as if it's like a sukkah agave sukkah, similarly, right? Is it going to be as if you're not sitting in a sukkah, you're obstructed from the schach? So all of that is psua. You're not allowed to do that. Aval pores hu agave naklite amita. But what you are allowed to do is, and here we draw a distinction between two types of canopies over bed, right? You can picture a standard canopy has four poles coming up from each corner of the bed, and then you put the sheet over that canopy. That's what's problematic. But what we're saying is not problematic is naklite amita. Let's say you have a bed with four corners, but you have a pole running up the middle of each end, right? So this is your bed. So kinof is the one that's problematic because we have a pole here, pole here, pole here, pole here, and then it's fully covered as if it's a full structure. As opposed to naklitin, which is okay, is where, again, this is your bed. You just have one pole coming up there, pole coming up there, and then your sheet is kind of a triangular teepee tent. Yeah, like a tent, like an old-style military tent where it's just like a triangle. And it's just, there's one straight line across. So that's what's okay. So Amar Rav Chisda. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda. Lo shanu elo mipnei ha-nesher. This is only true, meaning the Reisha of the Mishnah, which said you're not allowed to do this, is only where you're doing it because you're trying to shield yourself from the leaves that are falling from your schach. Avalina osa, but if you have, like, I don't know, like some kind of tapestry or some kind of sukkah decoration that's hanging under the schach, even if it's very wide and like a whole sheet, and it's basically obstructing you between, it's obstructing the schach entirely, because it's for a purpose related to the sukkah, it's to make it look nice, so that's perfectly okay, says Rav Chisda. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious from just reading the Mishnah. It said, Pshita, mipnei ha-nesher tinan. It said, it's only a problem if you're doing it in order to obstruct, in order to stop the leaves from falling into your soup. But but the implication is that if you're doing it for another reason that's related to the sukkah, it should be okay. Why did Rav Chisda have to tell us that? So we say Mahu Detema, you might have thought Hu Adin Dafu and Osa, that you might have thought that the Mishnah meant to exclude and to say it's puzzle even if you there you did it for decoration. Vaidikatan Mipnei HaNesher, and the only reason why it said it's because to protect you from the leaves falling into your soup, Urcha Demilsa Katani, because that's the more common reason why you might put up the thing. Kamash Malan, Rav Chisda comes to tell you, no, it's limited specifically to a situation where you're putting it to so the leaves don't fall in your soup, but if it's put up for a decoration, then it's okay. The Gemara then says, Lema Miseale, we seem to have a supporting brisa that supports Rav Chisda's position that if it's for decoration only, it's perfectly okay. And that is the following brisa that says, Sichacha kilchasa, you put up schach like you should, normal amount of schach, v'itra, and then you decorate your sukkah, bikramim, uvisadinim, these are, again, like tapestries, bisadinim, mitziyarim, tapestries with all sorts of, like, decorations in them, v'talaba gozim, you put nuts up there, shkedim, aparsikim, peaches and almonds, verimonim, pomegranates, parchile anavim, clusters of grapes, v'itros shel shibolin, wreaths of stalks of grains, yenos, like bottles of wine, shmanim, bottles of oil, v'salasos, bottles filled with flour, all sorts of sukkah decorations. It's also okay. Usr, it seems to be okay. And this brisa is just saying, Usr, we stop bake mehen al motzei yom tov ha'achron shel chag. If you get hungry, you can't reach up and grab one of those hanging peaches and eat it because they're muktza as schach until the very end of Sukkot. However, vim hisna lam, if when you put them up, you had in mind and you specifically said, I'm putting them up as schach, but they're not exclusively as schach, and therefore I can still eat them during the holiday of Sukkot. Hakol ufi tano, we follow your Tanai. It's okay to be masna in that way. So the important, so that's one halacha. The idea is that Sukkot decorations are generally muktzah. You're not allowed to use them unless you made a Tanai that you can use them. But the important point for the purposes of our sugya here is that one of the things listed was sadinim, that you could put sheets up. So this sounds like it's a siyata, it sounds like it's a support for Rav Chisda's position that putting up sukkah decorations, even if they're very wide and very expansive, and they look like a sheet that you might have put up to protect yourself from the leaves, as long as it's for the sukkah decorations, that's okay. It's not considered the chatzitza, it's not considered a puzzle for the sukkah. So the Gemara says, don't be so quick to think that that is a proof for Rav Chisda's position. Dilma min atzad. Maybe this whole description of all the sukkah decorations was just sukkah decorations on the wall or off to the side, but not one that's obstructed the schach, and therefore it's not necessarily a proof for Rav Chisda. The Gemara says, Itmar, noye sukkah. Now that we're on the topic of sukkah decorations, in mematin besukkah, they're not considered sufficient to lower the elevation of the schach. Rashi points out this is both for kula and l'chumra, because we have a minimum height. So if your sukkah, let's say, is 12 tefachim tall, which means it's good because it needed to be 10, it's 12, so it's tall enough, and now you have sukkah decorations that bring the level down, so we're saying ein mematin, that doesn't bring the level down, that's okay. And the other way as well, if you have a 25 amot sukkah, which is too high, but you have extensive decorations and then now bring the level down, we disregard those decorations. Those aren't considered in mematim sukkah. Those aren't considered as if your schach is now lower. It's still a pasul sukkah. So we disregard the decorations. That's the point. Amar Ravashi, uminatzad mematim. That's true in terms of the height of the sukkah. But in terms of the width of the sukkah, for the minimal shear of a sukkah, 7x7, it does cut into the area, and you have to make sure that you have a big enough sukkah taking into account the decorations. Now we have a story. Maniman Avdei de Ravashi. Maniman, that was his name, the slave of Ravashi, it mishale katunta b'maya. He had a shirt, and he was walking, and I guess it was a rainy day. His shirt got soaked with water. Vishtatcha amitalasa, and he hung it over the sukkah. So Amrulay Ravashi Dalia. So Ravashi, his master, told him, take it down. Your shirt is a davar makabel tuma. It's not kosher as schach. So you got to take it down. People are going to think that you can use a davar makabel tuma as schach. Gemara says, v'kachazu le diritiva. Why are you worried? Why was Ravashi worried that people are going to think they could use a davar makabel tuma as schach? Anyone who walks by is going to see that it's so wet, and the only reason it's up there is because it was put up to dry, not because it's being used as schach. So the Gemara's answer is l'chiyavesha kaminalach. L'chiyavesha kaminalach. He was concerned that once it dries off, people walking by will think that it is being used as schach. Fine. That was just a short little story. Okay, the problem that the Rishonim have with that little story is that it implies that it is kosher, if not for the Marasayan problem, right? Ravashi's only problem was that people are going to think that it's makabel tuma. The implication was that that doesn't obstruct the schach, right? We said, according to Rav Chista, only sukkah decorations are okay, but something that you put up as a for shade or to stop the leaves coming down, would be a problem that obstructs. So the Rishonim kind of grapple with the fact that this story implies that the only problem was a Marasayan problem, but isn't there a more fundamental problem in that you were putting it over and it's actually going to provide shade? So so some of the Rishonim answer this question by just saying, okay, they were talking about when the sukkah wasn't in use. But in Achinami, when the sukkah is in use, that thing is not allowed to be there. That's the way some Rishonim. But it's a complication. It's a little wrinkle in the Gemara there. Okay, Itmar noye sukkah hamuflagin mimena arba. So again, we were talking about noye sukkah, the decorations. So Rav Chista said that it's okay to have sukkah decorations. That's not going to be considered an obstruction. But the Gemara is now going to modify that slightly and say, what's the story if it's more than four tefachim separated from the schach? So perhaps Rav Chista's rule only applies if it's within four tefachim of the schach, so that it's kind of batal gaba. But once there's a gap of four tefachim from the schach, then we're going to view it as its own separate item, and then it's going to be really an obstruction. So that's the Gemara's question here. No yisukam nufagim yimen arba. Rav Nachman amr ksheira. Rav Chista rabba Rav Huna amri psua. So the Machogas Amoraim here as to whether that's kosher or whether that's pasul. And we paskin, as you see from the little bays, that it's pasul, meaning it's one thing to put sukkah decorations, as Rav Chista said, up near the schach, that's okay. But once they're separated more than four tefachim, then they're considered separate, it's its own thing, and then that's a problem, and it's its own problem.
Where does that four come from?
Again, I think that's a davar, generally in halacha, just like we learned from in Erevin, four is considered a significant space.
So earlier on, a daf or two ago, when it talked about bringing the schach on top down, did it also mention four?
I don't know if it had a shear then. I mean, we'd have to look. Yeah, I don't know the answer. Okay. Rav Chista, that's kind of touches upon the conversation we were having before. It might be that that's just more pernicious because it's pusel rather than kosher, meaning, right, all these gaps that we've been talking about here are schach kosher on top of schach kosher, where we're going to now figure out what's the gap that's allowed. Whereas if it's pusel schach, that may be a problem altogether. But okay. So Rav Chista Rav Huna Iklogo Beit. Oh, now a story. Rav Chista Rav Rav Huna. So Rav Chista and Rav Rav Huna, remember, they were the ones who said it's pusel. Iklogo Beit Reish Galusa. They went on a trip on Sukkot to the house of the Reish Galusa. Agninhu Rav Nachman Besukka. So, what's Rashi say? Agninu, sorry, Rav Nachman. Right, Rav Nachman was in charge of building the sukkah of the Reish Galusa. He was the mashkiach on the sukkah of the Reish Galusa, right? So Agninu Rav Nachman Besukkah Shinuya. I'm sorry, Shinoya. Agninu Rav Nachman Besukkah Shinoya Mufagim Yeno Arba Tfachim. So it turned out that Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was there, Bar Pluksa. I'm sorry. Rav Nachman was the one who said kosher, right? Rav Nachman said, I have no problem, even if there's a gap of four tefachim between the schach and the decorations. So Rav Nachman happened to be the mashkiach on the sukkah of the Reish Galusa, and Rav Nachman helped build the sukkah in a way so that the decorations were there, and there was a gap of four tefachim between the schach and the decorations. Ashtiku v'amru lei v'lamidi. And yet, when Rabba and Bar Avuna and Rav Chisda visited this sukkah, they didn't comment on the fact that there was this big gap. So Amr Lahu, Sir Rav Nachman said to them, he noticed that they didn't criticize the fact that there was this gap of four tefachim between the schach and the decorations. So he said to them, Hadr bu rabbanim mishmatayu, did you change your mind? Do you no longer disagree with me that you can't have a gap? Do you no longer disagree with me? I say it's okay to have a gap, and you're not complaining. Do you no longer think that a gap's a problem? So Amr Lahu, Anan shulche mitzvah, anan upitur minasukka. They said, no, we actually still hold of our opinion. It's just that we're on a mission, we're involved in a mitzvah, and shulche mitzvah are patur minasukka. The Rishonim talk about whether they were, it was too much of a tircha for them to find a different sukkah, or shulche mitzvah are patur from a sukkah, even if they could find another sukkah. That's all discussion. But the point is, they said, we still hold to our opinion that you can't have a gap of more than four. Good. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mutter lishan bikila besukkah. Afal pi sheyesh lo gag. You're allowed to sleep under a canopy in a sukkah, even though it has a roof. Vu she'ena gavo asar, as long as it's not 10 tefachim high. Meaning, if it's less than 10 tefachim high, we're going to disregard that as kind of a separate structure. It's going to be kind of buttle to the bed, and therefore it's not going to be a problem. Tashma, where it brings a question on this. Hayashan bikila besukkah, lo yatsa yidei chovaso. Right, we said in not our Mishnah. We say elsewhere, Ayashem b'kiwa b'sukkah lo yatsu b'dei chavaso. So it sounds like, and kiwa also is a kind of canopy. So how do you reconcile those two statements? Chachamai skin kishagavoa asar. No, it's only a problem when it's more than 10 tefachim tall. That's when it's a problem. Meisve, another challenge. Ayashem tachas amita b'sukkah lo yatsu b'dei chavaso. If you sleep under a bed in a sukkah, you're not yotzei, you're chiyuv. Again, it provides an obstruction, it's a problem. So my answer is, again, hatergum shmuel b'mita gvoa asar. It's talking about where there's a gap of 10 tefachim. That's when it's a significant enough obstruction, and therefore it's going to be a problem. Tashma osha pires al gabe kinofos psula. This, I think, is our Mishnah, right? We said pires al gabe kinofos psula. If you put a canopy over those four sticks that are sticking up from the bed, it's puzzle. So hasam nami digviya sar. So we say there too, that was where it was 10 tefachim high. Valoka tani hachi, but it doesn't say that. The tanya nakuitim shnayim v'kinofos arba pires agabe kinofos psua agabe nakuitim kshera ubavad shli nakuitim gavoin min amita asara. So it all said that in one breath. The distinction between the Naklitin and the Kinofos. Kinofos was problematic because it was four things, four sticks, and the sheet above the four sticks. And Naklitin, we said, was not a problem because it was only two and it was like a military tent in a V shape. So, and yet it said, but that's only true if the Naklitin are not 10 tefachim high. But the implication is, Mechal de Kinofos, Afal Pishen, Gavo, and Asara. Kinofos are problematic even if they're shorter than 10. So how do you answer it? What's the distinction? Shiny kinofos tikvi. Kinofos are more problematic because they're more problematic than kila, because kinofos is talking about where it's more of a sturdy structure. It's like built in, it's screwed in, as opposed to kind of these sticks just sitting on the bed, in which case it's less of a problem. The Gemara says, Vasukka Agabe suka dikvia v'yamr shmuel kechshera kach psua, right? When it comes to a sukkah, agabe sukkah, that's clearly kavua, because that's a bona fide sukkah structure, and yet there Shmuel said kechsher kach psua, that only if it's 10 tfachim or more it's a problem, implying that even for a kavua structure, even for a very strongly built structure, if it's 10 tfachim or if it's less than 10 tfachim, it would be kosher. So how do you reconcile that with what we just said, that if it's a bona fide strong structure, it's going to be pasul even less than 10? So Amri Hassam do a mifsal sukkah basara, hacha do a shavya ola, butzer miasar nami have ola. The Gemara says we're talking about two different things. When it comes to the sukkah agave sukkah, we had a higher threshold because we were seeking to pasul the whole sukkah. So to pasul a whole sukkah, you need it to be 10 tfachim or more. Here, where we're just pasuling a small area, even if it's less than 10 tfachim, if it's less than tfachim and very strongly structured, so then that's going to be sufficient to pasul that area and to say you have to sit in another area of the sukkah. Okay, now the Gemara is just going to continue with a very interesting kind of corollary to this rule. Meaning, once we're talking now about what's considered a separate structure so that it passels, and again, we said for most of these purposes, the description of the minimum shear is 10, meaning if it's 10 tfachim, it's not regarded as kind of an obstruction. It's kind of batal gabi amita. So that has ramifications for Hilchos Kriyas Shema. As follows, Amar Rav Tachlifa bar Avimi, Amar Shmuel, Hayashan bekila arum, motzi rosho, chutz lekila, v'kori Kriyas Shema. But we have a rule that you're not allowed to say Kriyas Shema if you're not wearing clothing. But the question is, and this is a very interesting kind of academic question, how do you distinguish between clothing and the structure, right? In theory, I could say, as long as I'm in my house, I'm never not wearing clothing because my house is always covering me, right? And so why shouldn't I be able to stick my, I guess, you know, if you'll say if your whole body's in your house, so then your head is seeing it's all connected to your unclothed body. But let me do this. I'll stick my head out a window. I'll close the window shut just over my neck. And now I'll pretend that my whole house is my clothing. And why shouldn't that work? And I should be able to say Kriya Shema even though I'm not wearing clothing. And the answer is, this analysis says that doesn't work. There's a difference between clothing and a structure. And what's the distinction? The distinction is whether it's 10 tfachim of a gap, as we just saw. Meaning just like when it comes to a sukkah, the bed with the canopy over it, if it's less than 10 tfachim in most circumstances, we'll say that that canopy isn't really considered kind of a separate structure. It's batel agabe the bed, and therefore it's not an obstruction, and it's as if you're still in the sukkah. So too, when it comes to covering yourself for Kriya Shema, if you lie in a structure that's less than 10 tfachim tall and your head's sticking out, so then that's considered like clothing. But once it's more than 10 tfachim tall, then that's considered kind of an obstruction, kind of a structure, and not clothing, and then you can't say Kriya Shema. It's the same rule applies. So that's how he says it here. Amar Rav Tachlifa bar Avimi Amar Shmuel, Hayashan bekila arum, if you sleep or you're lying down in a kila, in a canopy bed, not wearing any clothing, motzi rosho chutz l'kila, you could stick your head outside of the canopy, v'kori Kriya Shema, and you can read Kriya Shema. Meisvei, but we have a brace that says the opposite. Hayasham bekiwa arum. If you lie down in a canopy, not wearing clothing, lo yotzi rosho chutz l'kila v'yikra Kriya Shema. You should not do that. You shouldn't stick your head out and say Kriya Shema. So how do you reconcile these two? Hachav mayaskin and kisha gavoa asara. One is where it's 10 tefachim high. And one where it's not 10 tfachim high. Where it's not 10 tfachim high, then it's considered smaller. It's like clothing almost. And where it's more than 10 tfachim high, it's considered like a structure. Hachanami mistabra. And that's logical. Midikatani seifa. Because the end of that braisa says, Halamaze dome, lomeid bebayis arum, shulyotzi rosho chutz lachalon, v'yikra Kriya Shema, Shema Mina. This is like that theoretical problem we just suggested, that it's, if you're in a house and you're not wearing clothing, can you stick your head out the window and close the window and pretend that the house is your clothing? And the answer is no. House is a structure. It's not clothing. And then it just finishes up. Ubayas nami, even in a house, alfa pish ein gavoa sara, came into kavia ola who dulagara mikinophos. If it's less than 10 tfachim, I think we're saying now, a house, since it's a very strong structure, then it's like the kinophos we said about, right? We said that regardless of what the elevation is, what the height is, what the gap is, if it's a very strong structure, then it's going to be considered a structure regardless. And so a house, even if you have like a midget house that's less than 10 tefachim, don't try to play this game where you stick your head out the window and close it, because that's, you're not going to get away with that. That's a house. It's only if you kind of have this like makeshift tent that's less than 10 tefachim, you can do this trick where you could stick yourself in the tent, stick your head out, and if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's as if that's clothing, and then you could say Kriya Shema. Okay, we'll stop there.